I think I'll start with the one in 26 first, and then we'll go to the 16th chapter of Matthew. Chapter 26, verse 6. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he's called Simon the leper because he had leprosy, but the Lord healed him. And he's still referred to as Simon the leper. Verse 7 says, "They came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble you, the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there should also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her.'" I'm not so much interested in the woman and the alabaster box as I am interested in the disciples here. This ointment was an ointment that was very precious, it was worth a lot of money. And they were upset that she poured this ointment upon Jesus when it could have been sold, got a lot of money, and they give the money to the poor. Now that sounds like a good thing to do, or did to them. But here's the thing. We're in the last week of the ministry of Jesus Christ. These disciples had been walking with the Lord for 3.5 years, and they had come to the end of this time. We're at the end of Matthew, in this very chapter. He goes before Pilate, and the crucifixion takes place. Now, we have ministers today that will go to a Bible college or seminary for 3 years or maybe 4 years, and they get a degree and they're ready to go. It's amazing. These disciples have been with the Master of Masters. They have been with the Lord Himself. They have been taught by one that could teach them better than anybody else, better than any Bible college or ministry could do. Yet at the end of these 3.5 years, we find that there's still a lot of immaturity. They did not understand what was happening at this time. And they opposed what this woman had done in pouring this ointment from the alabaster box upon Jesus. And Jesus corrected them. "She has done this in memorial of my burial that is to take place." So, You ask the question, why is it that after all this time that they've been walking with him, seen all the things that they had done, the healings, the deliverances, everything Jesus had done, and yet why had they not grown spiritually any more than they had? That's the question that comes out of this. Now, go back to chapter 16. We're going to try to answer that question. If you're wondering, why am I not growing like I should? Why am I not more spiritual than what I am? Chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." In other words, there's a lot of opinions of who Jesus might be. And in verse 15, Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." At this particular time, Peter received a revelation straight from God of who he really was. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I can just see Peter's chest swelling about now. As he came up with that revelation. And in verse 18, Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, it's not like the Catholics say the church is built on Peter. No, it's not built on Peter. It's built on the revelation that Peter had, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
What are you talking about?
That's the foundation, the revelation of who he is. And then you go on down to verse 21. Now, that was a major step for Peter and for the disciples to know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, because of that revelation, the Lord can begin to take them a little bit further. And in verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day." Now that they have that revelation, he begins to talk to them about having to go to the cross, the fact that he's going to be crucified and resurrected. And how does Peter respond to that? Verse 22, "Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." That just can't happen to you, Jesus. They cannot take my Jesus away from me. You understand what Peter is doing here? He's, "I refuse to lose my Jesus." Alright? And in chapter 26 is where they poured the alabaster box on him. And they're still in the place of spiritual immaturity. And then when you move on, just a few days later, less than 2 months, to the first chapter of Acts, he's in the grave for 3 days, and there's 40 days of post-resurrection ministry. That's 43 days. And there's 50 days from Passover to Pentecost. So we have 7 days left over. During these 7 days, these disciples are up in the upper room and they're worshiping and praising God. Jesus is not with them. And then in Acts chapter 2, the Lord Jesus, or the Spirit of Truth, returns, and they are filled with his presence. At this time, they now do not know Jesus the Nazarene, but they know Jesus the Lord of glory. And there's a whole difference. Peter had said, no, I don't want to lose my Jesus. They cannot take him away from me. And that was odious to him, to think of losing him. And as long as Jesus, the man, was with them, they were limited in their growth. It was only after the Jesus they knew died and was no more that they had 7 days, and during those 7 days, they learned how to relate to the resurrected Lord, the resurrected Christ, you see. And there's where the change takes place. As do you realize that the majority of Christendom today relates only to Jesus, the man. And they're wanting Jesus, the man, to return. I want to see him. And they haven't learned how to relate to the Lord of glory, the resurrected Christ. Because it's then, when you learn to know him as the Lord of glory, that's when the spiritual change begins to take place, and take place so quickly. Those disciples, with just a few days before, didn't have enough revelation and weren't spiritual enough to know what this little woman was doing with the alabaster box. Yet from the day of Pentecost on, they knew exactly what the will of God was, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost with the 11, and he ministered his first sermon. 5,000 people opened their hearts to the Lord because he spoke a word from God. Before that, he couldn't speak anything. But all they can do is give you a good lesson on how to catch fish. And that's the key. You'll have to give this one some thought. You'll have to wait on the Lord. You'll have to talk to him about it. Because there's a big switchover that takes place. A big change in how you relate to the Lord. That you're not relating to him as a man. He is spirit, you see. One of the disciples in John chapter 4, was it? Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have you been so long with me, Philip? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And you see, as long as he was standing there as the man, all they could see was the man. They couldn't see the Father. Another one asked him, what is it? And this is verse 22. How is it that you're going to manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And this is all during that last week that he's with them. And over, he's trying to tell them and explain to them. He says, I'm going for a little while, I'll leave you. And then a little while, and I'll be back. Let me see where that one is. I think that's in chapter 16. In verse 7, he says, it's expedient for you that I go away. In verse 16 of that same chapter, a little while, and you shall not see me again. A little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. For a little while, he was gone. And then in a little while, they saw him again. But this time, they didn't see him as the man. They saw him as the Lord of glory, the Spirit. And this is what we have to learn how to do in this day. Our Jesus the Nazarene, he's crucified. And he has to be crucified in our thinking so that we can begin to know him as the Lord of glory, the one that comes forth within us. Not just one that we hope will one day come back again, but the presence of the real Lord of glory, that we get to know him and to walk with him. And what happens when that takes place? You begin to change, because you begin to see him as he is. On John chapter 3, verse 1, when he appears to you as the Lord of glory, verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 3 and 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows him not, knows us not, because it knew him not. In verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When you begin to see him as the Lord of glory, then you begin to change, and you begin to become like him. As long as you see him as, only see him as the man Jesus, you can't change, you can't grow. What it's being, same thing John's saying here, when you see him as he is, then you become as he is. And until you see him as he is, you cannot change. So we have to see him as the Lord of glory, the Spirit, which means you're not seeing him with your natural eyes, but you're seeing him with your spirit and with your heart. Jesus. We must have a revelation. And that revelation of him as the Lord of glory goes beyond the revelation that Peter had when Peter says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He saw the Son of Man. We're looking for the Lord of glory. And that's where spiritual change begins to take place. And you say, well, why aren't I changing like I should? Well, you might be changing more than you know, but here's the great key right here, is begin to relate to him as what I call the Lord of glory, as opposed to the man of flesh.